Chapter 12. The Training Begins. The leaves had started to turn by the time they arrived at Hank's ranch. Bob Harper greeted them warmly upon their arrival. He and Hank swapped tales of their trips back to the ranch. Bob was not too thrilled to be taking a kid on the next drive. Nevertheless, after Hank explained that the two of them would not be going on one if not for the boy's investment, Bob reluctantly accepted the idea. Although the cattle drive would not start until the last snow melted in the spring, a lot of preparation was needed. The test drive of the chuck wagon had revealed several weak points in its basic design. It had to be reinforced in several key locations to make it withstand the rigors of cross-country travel. Luckily, Bob was a good blacksmith as well as a fine cowboy. Several water barrels were mounted to the wagon's sides for the long dry areas that they would have to cross. The contrariness of the half-wild Texas Longhorns meant that the men's mounts had to be dependable. Hank had a pretty good string of green broke cow ponies, but these Mustangs needed more work before they could make the long drive to the stockyards in Abilene, Kansas. This trip could take as long as 2 months, and it was going to be a real test of both man and beast. This journey, however, was well worth the time. Cattle in Texas cost only $4 per head, compared to over $40 in Abilene. The three of them were up before dawn each morning and worked until darkness drove them indoors. They sometimes worked late into the night by lamplight. Something else always needed fixed. Once the chuck wagon passed Hank's final inspection, they turned their attention to the livestock. Buck had bought some boots and leather chaps to work the stock. His job was to wear the ponies down, then Hank and Bob would finish breaking them. Breaking these ponies was sort of fun at first, but after being bucked to the ground a few dozen times, it soon became real work. By nightfall, Buck would be so tired that he could hardly crawl onto his bunk. Yet, come sun up, he would be right back in the saddle of another hard-headed pony. His backside was getting tougher and his legs stronger with each passing day. Every time a pony bested him and sent him flying through the air, Hank and Bob would taunt him with shouts of,
"Buck Adams? Hell, looks more like Buck Dolph Adams to us."
They never seemed to grow tired of their little joke, but Buck was getting tired of being the butt of it. Each time he climbed back on, he tried to stay in the saddle a little longer. Soon, Buck spent more time in the saddle and less in the dust. Some of the ponies could not get him off their backs at all and gave in to his will. At that point, Bob would take over their training. He started working them around the few head of longhorns that Hank kept on his place. By late winter, they had a good string of well-trained cow ponies and a completely outfitted chuck wagon. All that was missing were the cowhands and the herd of longhorns to drive north. Hank started making his rounds to the local ranchers, setting up deals for their steers. All the ranchers knew that Hank was as good as his word. Therefore, his word and a handshake sealed the deals. Soon he had contracted 2,000 head of longhorns for the spring drive. Each rancher would deliver his part of the herd to a box canyon just west of Hank's spread. There was a small stream running its length, and good grass lined its banks. When the last of the cattle arrived, the drive would start. With little time to kill waiting for spring, Hank and Bob intensified the boys' cowboy training. The riding he had down pat now, but Buck was weak in the roping and gun departments. Hank felt no need to teach him how to use the six-shooter. If they ran into any Indians or cattle rustlers along the way, a rifle would be his best defense. You could shoot a rifle from a moving horse with much greater accuracy than a short-barreled pistol. A A handgun was only good for close-in fighting. Hank made Buck shoot at a fence post as he rode by at different distances. Buck worked at it until he could hit the target from 20 yards away at a fast gallop. Buck's shoulder soon became accustomed to the recoil of the rifle, and he no longer flinched when pulling the trigger. Shooting at a post, however, is not the same as shooting a man. Buck was not sure if he would be able to shoot someone, if that time ever came. The stiff lariat was harder to master. As with the rifle, Hank made Buck practice for endless hours. Soon, the rope and rifle felt as though both were a part of him. Buck had one or the other in his hands at all times. Going now was that soft farm boy, and in his place stood a cowboy. Months of hard work and rough grub had toughened this greenhorn, who was now eager to hit the trail. Saturday nights, Bob and Hank would go to a little canteen in town to drink and play cards. This gave Buck some time alone. The bunkhouse was so small that Bob's snoring sometimes made sleeping difficult. The best part about their little trip was it caused them to sleep late on Sunday. The extra hour or two of shut-eye helped. These men treated Buck as an equal and expected a full day's work from him. On the outside, Buck was looking the part of a hardened cowhand. But inside, the boy in him sometimes missed his mother and father. He hated those times when he let his guard down. Some nights he would think of his folks and remember their fun times together. Those memories made him feel both sad and glad at the same time. In his mind, he could see the three of them sitting around the supper table, laughing. This recollection made him feel warm inside. However, at other times, bad memories rushed into his mind. Buck remembered the look on his mother's face as she died in his arms that awful night on the bridge. He could still remember how sad he felt standing over her grave. He once again felt hurt and all alone in the world. This thought he hurried from his brain before the memory could force the tears from his eyes. Buck would say to himself angrily,
"No more tears, damn it. No more tears."